Blog Talk Radio.
Awaken to Empowerment. This is Carol Ann Parisi, and it is a meaningful, mindful, motivational Monday. Hey there, are you wondering what is going on in these tumultuous transitional times when humanity is surging with uncontrolled uncertainty, doubt, and fear? Well, we're your source for hope. Hopefully, we can start helping you to create your ideal life. Because it's time to awaken to consciousness, it's time to awaken to timeless truths, it's time to take transition to transformation, it's time to set your soul free, it's time for that paradigm shift, it's time to be fearless, and it's time for peace, love, and empowerment. Let's get right into it and create your ideal life. Let us help you discover your destiny and your purpose, and today's 100 Days of 100 Simple Secrets of Successful People is this: avoid second guess paralysis. Oh boy, does anybody else second guess themselves? Well, we make decisions, even important decisions, all the time. All of us make the best decisions possible given the information that we have. So, where do we go from there? I'm giggling because this whole house thing is so close and near and dear to my heart. But here's the deal. The satisfaction you experience from your decisions is based not just on outcome of those decisions, but on the amount of time you consider counterfactual scenarios. What would have happened if I hadn't taken this job, bought this house, blah, 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 asked for a raise sooner, pursued a different college degree? Because these questions invite you to think about the abstract. Well, in the abstract world, nothing is certain, and every answer can be determined by your imagination. Thinking this way can lead to infinite series of what-ifs, could-have-beens. Just the act of spending time on counterfactuals can undermine the value of the decision you made in the first place. What if questions intrigue us? It could be endlessly fascinating to imagine what might have been different. But what ifs do not serve us or help us reach the best possible outcome for decisions we have already made. So those, you know what, this is me ad-libbing. Ask those what-if decisions before. That is a great way to make, you know, what if? Always look at things from their worst possible perspective. So what if I do this? What if I do that? And then you go ahead and ask yourself, okay, so if I go ahead and do this, what is the worst-case scenario? What is the outcome I wish to achieve, and what's the worst-case scenario? So don't what-if yourself or should-have yourself after the situation. Go ahead and look at things when you're making decisions before you make the big decision. So it says here in the book, people who spend more time thinking about their possible selves, the lives they might be leading if they had made different decisions, are 46% less satisfied with their career decisions than people who do not spend much time imagining what might be different after the fact, okay? After the fact. So after the fact is a really big principle. If you go ahead and do it before you do anything, there's power in that. So hope everybody is having an outstanding day and feeling empowered and great. I'm sorry, I've got some coughing going on here. Although all that sneezing and sinus yesterday, wow, that was bad juju. But today is October 24th, Monday. And the thought from our James Allen series, Day by Day with James Allen, is this. Thought for the morning. Not by learning will a man triumph over evil. Not by much study will he overcome sin and sorrow. Only by conquering himself will he conquer evil. Only by practicing righteousness will he put an end to sorrow. Not for the clever, not for the learned, not for the self-confident is life triumphant, but for the pure, the virtuous, and the wise. The former achieve their particular success in life, but the latter alone achieve great success, so invincible and complete that even an apparent defeat shines with it an added victory. So if you're doing things with a pure energy and a pure heart and a pure mind, you're still going to win in the outcome, even though you don't see that victory. So say not unto thy soul, thou shalt be pure tomorrow, but rather say, thou shalt be pure now. Tomorrow is too late for anything, and he who sees help and salvation in tomorrow shall continually fail and fail today. Thou didst fall yesterday, dist, boy, D-I-D-S-T. What a different meaning that has in the 21st century, right? Dist sin grievously. Having realized this, leave it instantly and forever. Watch that thou sinnest not now, that the while thou art bewailing the past, every gate of thy soul remains unguarded against the entrance of sin now. Exactly what we just said, okay? Don't look back. A new day's breaking. That's the song, right? You can't look back and feel forlorn and be disappointed in what you've done. You can only learn from those past things. So it says, the foolish man loving the boggy side of procrastination rather than the firm highway of present effort says, I will rise early tomorrow. I will get out of debt tomorrow. I will carry out my intentions tomorrow. But the wise man, realizing the momentous import of the eternal now, rises early today, keeps out of debt today, carries out his intentions today, and so never departs from strength and peace of ripe accomplishments. Thou shalt not rise by grieving over the irremediable past, but remedying the present. The true silence is not merely silent tongue. It's the silent mind to merely hold one's tongue, yet carry out absurd about disturbed and rankling mind is no remedy for weakness and no source of power. Silentness, to be powerful, must envelop the whole mind and must permeate every chamber of the heart and must be the silence of peace. To this broad, deep, abiding silentness, a man attains only in the measure he conquers himself. It's just the same old thing. You got to conquer yourself. You got to conquer your thoughts, your words, your attitudes, your actions. You have to be the master and the master creator of your mind and what you want to do. And, you know, and like we've been saying every day, the more repetition, the more positive things you do, the more things will go your way, the more neural connections you're making, the more you will take absolute ownership of this. So, you know, we've got this, you know, James Allen, I love it. I wish it didn't have the wilts and the dists and all the old English speech, but I guess that's what makes it so timeless. Yesterday we were working with the James Allen path from from poverty to power, the path to prosperity. We went over the lesson of evil and a world. We're on this one now. A world, a relax of mental states. So this is everything in the universe is resolved in your own inward experience. This is what we're talking about. Everything is intrinsic to you. And every soul attracts its own. Nothing can possibly come that doesn't belong to you. And that's really one of the divine laws. So I just want to kind of get up to speed with some of this. We were reading some of this yesterday. Here's, if thou wouldest sit right with the world and banish all. So when men say, lo here or lo there, go not after them, the kingdom of God is within you. You know, and it's true, it is all within you. And passing from revelation to revelation, from realization to realization, you'll discover the powerlessness of outward things and beside the magic potency of self-governed soul. Isn't that awesome? A self-governed soul. And that was yesterday's. Now, this one today is the way out of undesirable conditions, okay? So having seen and realized that evil's but a passing shadow, it's just something that passes, and I'm just going to try and, you know, give this in a concise manner as I peruse through this. It says, reflections, we ascend to firm and easy steps and the plane of perception whereon seen realize the vision of the law. Okay, so the law, there's a law of vision. There's a knowledge that everything is included in a ceaseless interaction of cause and effect, and nothing can possibly be divorced from the law. Right, remember, laws cannot be broken. They can only be transgressed. So you can't divorce yourself from the law because that's just, the laws are laws. From the most trivial thought, word, or act, a man up to these groupings of celestial bodies, law reigns supreme. No arbitrary condition can even for one moment exist, for such a condition would be a denial and annihilation of the law. Every condition of life, therefore, is bound up orderly and harmonious sequence, and the secret cause of every condition is contained within itself. Whatsoever a man sows, so also he shall reap. Okay? This is great. It's inscribed in flaming letters upon the portal of eternity, and none can deny it, none can cheat it, and none can escape it. So if you think you're getting away with something, you're really not. It's karma. It's the law of cause and effect. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And sometimes you're going to may reap later than you sow, and maybe even more than you sow, and it's a dual-edged sword. The law of sowing and reaping is a dual-edged sword. So he who puts his hand in the fire will suffer burning, and just the same thing. Precisely the same law governs the realm of the mind. Hatred, anger, jealousy, envy, lust, covetousness, all these fires are burning, and they whosoever much touches them must suffer the torments of their burning. See, all these conditions of the mind are rightly called evil. Wanting something for nothing, thinking people owe you or society owes you. Nobody owes you anything. So all these conditions of the mind are rightly called evil, for they are the efforts of the soul to subvert in its ignorance the law, and they therefore lead to chaos, confusion within, and sooner or later actualized in outward circumstances as disease, failure, and misfortune coupled with grief, pain, and despair, whereas love, gentleness, goodwill, purity, and cooling airs which breathe peace upon the soul that woos them. And in many being in harmony with the eternal law, they become actualized in the form of health, peaceful surroundings, and undeviating successes with good fortune. A thorough understanding of this great law permeates the universe, and it leads to an acquirement of that state of mind known as obedience. To know that justice, harmony, and love are supreme in the universe is likewise to know that all adverse and painful conditions are the result of disobedience to the law. Such knowledge leads to strength and power. It's upon such knowledge alone, that true life and enduring success and happiness can be built. To be patient under all circumstances and to accept all conditions as necessary factors in your training is to rise superior to all painful conditions and to overcome them with overcoming which is sure and which leaves no fear for their return. For the power of obedience to the law, they are utterly slain. Such an obedient one is working in harmony with the law, has in fact identified himself with the law, and whatsoever he conquers forever. Whatsoever he builds can never be destroyed. Exactly. Once you build these laws intrinsically to you, somebody could take your money from you, they could take your possessions, but they can never take what has been built inside of you and what you have ownership of. So this is truly the cause of all power and as well weakness. The secret of all happiness and all misery lies within. There's no progress apart from the unfoldment within, no sure foothold of prosperity or peace except an orderly advancement in knowledge. You say you are chained by circumstances. You cry out for better opportunities, for a wider scope, for improved physical conditions, and perhaps inwardly you curse the fate that binds you hand and foot. It is for you that I write. It is for you that I speak. Listen and let my words burn themselves into your heart, for that which I say to you is truth. You may bring about the improved condition in your outward life which you desire if you will unswervingly resolve to improve your inner life. That deserves to be said again. You may bring about that improved condition in your outward life which you desire if you unswervingly resolve to improve your inner life. I know this pathway looks barren at its commencement. Truth always does. It is only error and delusion which are the first inviting and fascinating. But if you undertake to walk it, if you perseveringly discipline your mind, eradicating your weaknesses and allowing your soul forces and spiritual powers to unfold themselves, you will be astonished at these magical-like changes which will be brought about in your outward life. As you proceed, golden opportunities will be strewn across your path, and the power and judgment to properly utilize them will spring up within you. Genial friends will come to unbinden you. Sympathetic souls will be drawn to you as a needle is to a magnet. Books and all outward aids that you require will come to your onslaught. Perhaps the chains of poverty hang heavily upon you, and you are friendless and alone, and you long with an intense longing that your load may be lightened, and the load continues, and you seem to be enveloped in an ever-increasing darkness. Perhaps you complain, you bewail your lot, you blame your birth, your parents, your employer, or the unjust powers who have just bestowed upon you so undeservedly power and hardship, and upon other affluence and ease. Cease your complaining and fretting. None of these things that which you blame are the cause of your poverty. The cause is with yourself, and where the cause is, there is remedy. The very fact that you are a complainer shows that you deserve your lot. It shows that you lack the faith which the ground in all effort and progress. There is no room for the complainer in the universe of law, and worry is soul suicide. By your very attitude of mind, you are strengthening the chains which bind you, and you are drawing about the darkness by which you are enveloped. After your outlook upon life and your outward life will alter. Build yourself up in faith and knowledge and make yourself worthy of better surroundings and wider opportunities. Be the first. Be sure, first of all, that you are making the best of what you have. Do not delude yourself in supposing that you cannot step up into greater advantages while overlooking smaller ones. For if you could, advantage would be impermanent, and you would quickly fall back again in order to learn the lesson which you had neglected. So there's a Bible verse to this. He who is faithful with little can be faithful with much. See, if you're always being scattered here and there and to and fro, you will always be scattered here and there and to and fro. You have to set your mind upon things. And as a child at school must master one standard before passing on to the next, so you must have that you understand the greater good of what you desire. You must faithfully employ what you already possess. The parable of the talents is a beautiful story. It illustrates of this truth, for it does not plainly show that if we misuse, neglect, or degrade which we possess, be it ever so mean and insignificant, even that little will be taken from us by our conduct. We show that we are unworthy of it. Perhaps you're living in a small cottage and surrounded by unhealthy and vicious influences. You desire a more larger and sanitary residence, so you must fit yourself a residence by first of making your cottage as far as possible as a little paradise. Cook your food with all care. Do everything as you can that what you want. Take care of what you have right now. Perhaps you desire more time for thought and effort and feel your hours of labor are too long and hard. And what are you doing with the time you have now? So if you're, it says here too, I mean, if you desire more time, then if you're wasting your time, then you're only going to grow more idle and indifferent. Even poverty and lack of time and leisure are not evils that you imagine they are. And if they hinder you in your progress because you've clothed them with your own weakness. And the evil you see in them is really in yourself. Endeavor to fully and completely realize that insofar you shape and mold your mind, you are the maker of your destiny. And transmuting power of self-discipline, you realize this more and more. You will come to see that so-called evils may be converted into blessings. You will utilize your poverty for cultivation of patience, hope, and courage, and your lack of time in the gaining of promptness of action and decision of mind by seizing the precious moments as they present themselves for your acceptance. As in the rankest soil the most beautiful flowers are grown, so in the dark soil poverty of the choicest flowers of humanity are developed and bloomed. It may be that you are in the employ of a tyrannous master or mistress. You feel you're harshly treated. Look upon that also as your training. Practice unceasingly patience and self-control. Turn disadvantages into your advantages by gaining mental and spiritual strength. And your silent example of influence will be teaching you. It'll give you a higher height of spiritual attainment that you will be able to step into. Do not complain that you're a slave, but lift yourself up to noble conduct. Look within, look searchingly. Conquer these, cease to be a slave to self, and no man will ever have the power to slave you. As you overcome self, you will overcome all adverse conditions, and even difficulty will fall before you. Do not complain that you are oppressed by the rich. Are you sure that if you gain riches, you would not be an oppressor yourself? Remember, there is an eternal law which is absolutely just, that he who oppresses today must himself be oppressed tomorrow. From this, there is no way of escape. And perhaps you yesterday, in some former existence, were a rich oppressor, and now you are merely paying off a debt which you owe to the great law. Practice, therefore, fortitude and faith. Dwell constantly in the mind upon eternal justice and eternal good. Endeavor to lift yourself above the personal and transitory into the impersonal and permanent. Shake off the delusion that you are being injured or oppressed by another and try to realize a profounder comprehension of your inner life. Laws that govern that life, you are only really injured by what is within you. There is no practice more degrading, debasing, and soul-destroying than self-pity. Cast it out from you. While such a canker is feeding upon your heart, you could never expect to grow in a fuller life. Cease from the condemnations of others and begin to condemn yourself. Condone none of your acts, desires, or thoughts that will not bear comparison with spotless purity and endure the light of sinless good. By doing so, you will be building your house upon the rock of the eternal. And for your happiness and well-being will come to you in its own time. There's positively no way of permanently rising above poverty or any desirable condition except for by eradicating all selfish and negative conditions within, of which these are the reflection and by virtue which they come. The way to true riches is to enrich the soul by the acquisition of virtue. Outside the real heart virtue, there is neither prosperity nor power, but the appearances of these. I am aware that men make money who have acquired no measure of virtue, and they have little desire to do so. But such money does not constitute true riches. So prosperity of the wicked is a great trial. You know, to make yourself perfected, be unselfish, do good with what you have. Just too much. So, yeah, perfect yourself. Do your own thing. And do good unto others. See, too many people expect things. Well, you know, I'm poor and the rich, you know, the rich are going to give it to me. It's called redistribution of wealth. So there's a silent power of thought, and that's what we're going to hit on tomorrow from the James Allen book. Very interesting stuff, though, you know. And don't fall into the great deception of the false wealth within our world, you know. Some of these financial markets is a zero-sum game. And, you know, just go ahead and take your higher mind and get your, you know, mental phenomena going and get the right energy to attract what you want. You know, we do live in a multi-dimensional universe, and you can receive prosperity and good relationships by grace, and that grace is, you know, knowing where your supply comes from. And, you know, be at peace. Be at peace and create your own reality. And make your intention pure, okay? And I think that's pretty much all we're going to go ahead and talk about today. James Allen's pretty profound. And got a lot of windows open here, so I'm trying to see if there's any. There's so much that I can be sharing with you, but this is a big one, you know. This is a really big one today, is when you go ahead, you treat what you have well, and you're faithful with what you have, and you will get more. You will get more. I mean, if you're wasting your time just yucking it up all the time, you know, you're never going to have prosperity. You might have a good time. But, you know, and if you're satisfied with, oh, this is it, I mean, I just want to make sure my bills are paid and I don't really care. Well, how is that creating your ideal life? But you first have to go ahead and know what that ideal life looks like for yourself. So, I mean, for me, I want to be rich. I want to be so rich that I don't have to depend on anything but my own abundance. And then you could go ahead and teach other people the abundance factor. And, you know, there's mind wellness, too. You know, there's where you're satisfied. You have to be satisfied and grateful for what you have, and you can manifest more. But today's been an interesting show. We've got a lot of interesting things going on in the geopolitical world. It looks like AT&T wants to go ahead and recreate its antitrust situation of a monopoly. Kind of interesting, but you know, we're going to just focus on the positive and focus on the intrinsic and fix whatever is bothering you in your own state of mind, because as within, so without. And treat other people well. You know, karma is a beautiful thing. It is. But this is Carol Ann Parisi. I know this last few minutes has been a little discombobulated. I don't want to get into another principle with our path from poverty to prosperity, but make good with what you have. Give to others freely. Give of your time. Give of your talents. Be helpful, and always think of the other person. When you do something with someone or to someone, start thinking, how is this other person? How is this other person? How would I be feeling right now? So that's the goal for the day. This is Carol Ann Parisi, going to be signing off with Boston. Let's get into the long time and make it a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. Love you. Peace, love, and prosperity. How's that? And freedom. Be empowered. Have a good one. Bye-bye. I don't know if our music is going to be playing. That's really weird. There we go.